Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. And with me today, I have partners in crime, Kelly Gumont. How are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And John Martellaro, I hope you're doing well, too.
I am doing well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have both of you here.
The A-Team.
That's yes. Right. I feel safer already knowing that it doesn't matter where I stand, a bullet will not hit me.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, don't we all? Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week. And John, I have a feeling you'll be pretty excited about this. It's Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So we will talk about them soon. Also, we've been doing our tests with microphones that you're trying out. So just want to let everyone know that you're not on a new microphone this week because there were some technical issues. And so if people are listening closely, trying to decide if you sound better this week compared to last week, you sound just as beautiful as you did before and no different.
And here I am, a sweet little me, my Blue Yeti.
Yep, and it's great to have you here with your Blue Yeti voice. All right, so the first thing I thought we could dive into today is an editorial you wrote yesterday, John, where you talked about how Apple is relevant, whether you like it or not, and why you should be paying attention to what Apple's doing, regardless of whether or not you like the products they make.
Yeah, I was starting to think the other day about how, you know, there's so many naysayers and people who don't like Apple. And then I started thinking about the failures of other companies and how well Apple does at moving us forward. You know, Google tried its hand with Glass and the wallet. That didn't go anywhere. BlackBerry and Nokia were completely disrupted by the iPhone from Apple. Microsoft tried its hand with tablets. Didn't go anywhere with those. Windows Phone has got about 1% or 2% market share. The Surface Tablet and Windows 8 have not exactly been warmly embraced. But there's still a lot of fans and customers for those products. But when you look at Apple, Apple has this unique ability to move the technology and move technology forward successfully. And a good example is the keyless virtual keyboard on the iPhone, Apple Pay, and the coming Apple Watch. Apple figures out what it takes to make a product successful, and then we all want to get on the bandwagon for that success. And that smartly moves the technology forward, and it can be kind of dizzying. And from my own experience, you know, I must say that, you know, my own parents never really got on the computer bus, bandwagon, whatever. And so my mom files her income tax on paper. And I can't do email with her because she's not geared up for, you know, handling and maintaining Wi-Fi in the house, you know, and knowing how to use an iPad or a computer. And so as these technologies develop and become successful and move us all forward together, there's a risk that you end up falling behind. And if you put your money on the wrong horse, you're going to be in technical difficulties as time goes on. And one example I gave in the article was, you know, somebody goes to the grocery store to get some food for their trip, and they wave their hand at the cash register and walk out because they have an Apple Watch with Apple Pay. And then they get to the airport with their snacks and they wave their hand at the terminal and get on the airplane. And if you don't know what they're doing, you're mystified. You're left behind. It's like they're living in a different technical universe. And that can create security problems. It can create, you know, personal difficulties, confusion, being backwards, being left behind. Companies have to make concessions to people who, you know, don't engage in Apple Wallet or, I'm sorry, Google Wallet or Apple Pay or Samsung Pay. Well, all these things are going to take off and become mainstream. And so, you know, you really have to pick the right technical bandwagon and get on with it. And all that has to be pretty much independent of whether you like Apple executives or you like their pricing policy or whatever. So I wrote about that, and I said, you know, even if you don't like Apple that much, just be careful, because Apple makes technologies that stick, that work, they move us forward, and they move us forward fast. So that was the article.
All right. Well, the way I see it is that Apple doesn't create the markets. So you look and see what other companies are doing, and then you wait to see what Apple's going to do to make it better. And then when you see what Apple's done, then you have an idea of where the rest of the market will go after that.
Exactly, which is why you got to pay attention to what Apple's doing, even if you don't care for some of the bugs in their system or, you know, their prices. I mentioned in the article that some people feel that Apple's products are overpriced, but when you make a product that's the best product that money can buy, then Apple has the money to develop the technology fully and correctly, and there's seldom any buyer's remorse. You know, when it's the best product that you can get, you know, you're not going to be feeling like, oh, if only I had done this or chosen that option, or if I had done a different product, my technical life would be better. That hardly ever happens with Apple. Usually when you buy an Apple product, they thought of everything, and you're pretty pleased with the state of your technical life.
Sure. And regardless of whether or not regardless of whether or not you like Apple, there we go. That was harder to say than I expected. Wow. They're like the guide path to see where other products are going to go. And so, you know, there's a lot of times where people will say, oh, well, Apple just did whatever, or like Apple Pay. And then they'll come back with, which is so stupid, this isn't new, this isn't innovative, because we've already had NFC payments, we've already had Google Wallet.
And that's but nobody wanted to use those things.
Right. The point is, Apple figured out how to make this something that people are now interested in. And so when you see what Apple is doing to make things interesting to consumers, then you can see where the market trends are going. So we've had a few years of just a dead market as far as wireless payments go in retailers. iPhone 6 comes out, and now all of a sudden all these people are wanting to have Apple Pay, even if they don't have an iPhone. And to the point where I've been in stores where I've used my iPhone to pay for something, and then the clerk has come back and said, I wish I could do that, but I only have an Android phone. And what they didn't realize is that they've had that on their phone for a couple of years.
Oh, remember the infamous Samsung commercial where the guys were standing around the Apple customers in line for a new iPhone, and they were clicking their two Samsung Galaxies together, like, look, we've got NFC and you don't. And what they do with it, not much. The other thing I wanted to talk about was on page two, is I showed a chart of exponential rise of technology and complexity. And if you get caught on the wrong part of that curve, you can get overwhelmed. And Apple gives us tools and technologies to help us cope. So as things get more complicated and the technology expands and there's exponential rise in, you know, books and technology and writing and articles and things to deal with and gadgets, it's helpful for Apple to come along with a coherent infrastructure. It's helpful for Apple to put simplicity into the design of the products so that we can climb that exponential curve and deal with the rate of change better. That's another reason to pay attention to Apple. The tools they give us.
Like, when people talk about Apple innovating, it's never that Apple made a new computer, Apple made a phone, or whatever. Like, the credit Apple deserves for innovation is not in making it up, but in making it useful. Like, nobody cared about Google Wallet, you know? Oh, isn't it neat? You can pay with your phone. There's like 8 people in Silicon Valley who are really excited about that. The rest of the world, not so much. So it's when you take Apple Pay and you give it to somebody like Mr. Kelly, and he says, well, why would I? Like, his first question about Apple Pay was, how is this safe? What can I, you know, which is why I wrote that article about how about what it is about Apple Pay that makes it actually something you can use. And so then when we were visiting my mom at Christmas, we were talking to her about it and his eyes lit up. You should see how easy it is to pay just by using my phone. It's really cool. And that's given awesome. And given that there's like an endless parade of technology through my house between the two of us, for him to take note and be really excited about it is notable to me. Because he sees all kinds of stuff. I tell him about all kinds of things. He reads different stuff and finds out about other cool stuff that's happening. Nobody cared that you could pay with your phone until it was an iPhone. And that's the part that I think Apple doesn't get enough credit for. When people talk about Apple innovating, what they really mean is taking something and turning it into something spectacularly useful, like USB. Now, does Apple do that all the time? No, because as hard as they tried with SCSI, it just never went anywhere. But it was Apple that first staked out, you know how you hook your mouse and your keyboard to your computer? USB. It's this little rectangular cable. You can only plug it in one way. Here you go. And that was it. Mm-hmm. That was where it started. And that's where that's how everybody ended up with USB, was because Apple did it. And a lot of technology comes out the same way. Like, it's pretty standard issue now to not have to plug in at all, because you can use a Bluetooth keyboard and a Bluetooth trackpad or Bluetooth mouse if you want to have peripheral devices hooked up to your system. Like right now, I'm using two Bluetooth devices and only one of them is from Apple. And because that's how you connect your keyboard to your computer now. And I have a feeling that USB-C is going to end up being the same sort of thing. Now that Apple's done it, you better pay attention, because other people are going to do it too. And it's not just in staking out new technology. It's in forsaking the old technology. That same computer that introduced everybody to USB also introduced everybody to life without a floppy drive.
I have a feeling that somewhere some Apple engineers and executives were sitting around a room with a whiteboard, and somebody said, well, you know, if I can run an iPad with just a audio jack and a lightning, why can't I run my MacBook the same way? And it went from there.
Well, that was 2 years ago. Right now, they're looking at, you know, USB-F in that room.
Direct neural interfaces.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it's all, how do you implant, you know, this is the thinnest, lightest Wi-Fi antenna we can stick in your arm. Like, that's what that room is working on right now. I've been told I'm probably first in line for one of those. That's the thing to me that makes Apple a notable company, is that, you know, everybody talks about, oh, Google did it first. Yeah, but nobody cared. Oh, Microsoft did that already, but nobody cared. Nobody cared about the Surface that Microsoft had out before that was a portable thing you could carry around. Nobody cared until Apple did it. And I mean people at large. Like, it was a thing that tech journalists had paid attention to as a notable thing. Look what Microsoft is doing. Isn't that interesting? Yes, it's lovely, and nobody bought one. And that's where I think Apple gets a lot of credit and will continue to get more credit as they continue to grow and continue to be a company that wields greater technological influence. So I think it's awesome. And I really hope it makes everybody else up their game, because I really want, I say this all the time, I want Windows 10 to be great, because I want Apple to have to sit up and take notice and go, wow, that's some really cool stuff that they're doing. What's the sort of stuff that we could innovate to do this? This is why I was pulling for Windows 7. This is why I was pulling so hard for Windows 8 and pulling for Android. Now that Android has sort of grown up and worked out some kinks, I really want to see what Android's going to do, because Android and iOS are sort of in an innovation battle with each other. And so now that Android is pretty nifty and doesn't have near as many rough spots as it used to, I'm pretty pumped to see how that's going to influence iOS 9, and then how iOS 9 is going to influence whatever ends up being the next dessert out of Android. And I want the same thing on the desktop. I want to know what Windows 10 looks like, so I can see what kind of cool stuff is going to come to the next version of macOS, to see what comes back to Windows. I'm excited about all of it, and that's really where Apple's innovation is. It isn't necessarily in the new idea, because sometimes when it's Apple's completely new idea, it ends up being something like the dashboard.
But the problem
sort of showed off and went, isn't that neat, and then never looked at again.
But the problem, Kelly, is that when people try to, when other companies, competitors to Apple, try to equal Apple, it always ends up being a list of features.
Oh, yeah.
Specification lists and right. Add-ons, right? Which some of them which turn out to be pretty good, mm-hmm. but don't really solve the whole widget problem.
Precisely. And but that's sort of what I'm looking forward to is as other companies are coming up with creative ways to solve problems that users are having, then Apple will have to continue to be creative too. And we've seen Apple do great when there basically wasn't any competition, when hardly anybody had a Mac on their desktop, before there was a phone. Like, Apple was still doing some really interesting things. So we know that they've got the ideas. We know they've got the brain power in there to turn out really amazing stuff. So now that they actually have to sort of step up and compete, I can't wait to see how it goes.
I agree. So we need to keep watching Apple, see what they do, and bring on the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Yay. And,
yes. And that would be Pathfinder 7 from Cocotech.
My favorite app.
And, which is why I'm glad you're here today, John. Yesterday and the day before, I was really introducing Dave Hamilton to what Pathfinder is. But you're here as someone that's been using it for years and years and years.
From day one.
Which is really impressive and pretty cool. For those of you that aren't familiar with Pathfinder, this is a great finder add-on replacement sort of tool that gives you a lot more control over how you work with the files on your Mac than you would otherwise get just through the finder. And one of the things that I think is pretty cool about the app is a feature that ended up coming in because of Windows users that were switching to the Mac, and they wanted to have a dual pane view in their document windows, and that's something that you have in Pathfinder. So you can have essentially two folders side by side, but they're in the same window. And unlike tabs where you're looking at one or the other, you're looking at both at the same time. So
ooh.
you can work with two folders from completely different locations across your hard drives, your networks, whatever, and just move stuff between them without having to have multiple windows open or having to jump between tabs. And one of the other things that I'm absolutely loving about Pathfinder 7 is that up in the corner in your Pathfinder window, there's this little button you can click, and it just makes all your invisible files visible. So anything that you would need to see that's invisible, just with a click of a button, there it is. You don't need to restart anything. You don't need to run any command line stuff. You don't need to do anything except go click, and everything is visible. Then when you're done and you want to clean up your file lists, click it again. Boom. Everything that's invisible is gone again.
Oh, my God.
Can I tell you about my favorite feature?
Please do.
I've got a four-pane view. I've got the sidebar on the left, and I've got the text view. I prefer to look at my files in text mode, but then down below I have a pane where there's a preview. And so when I click on a graphics file in a text list, I see a preview of the image, and I see this resolution in the corner. It's awesome.
That's so cool. And actually, I was talking about that yesterday with Dave, and he was quite impressed. So anyhow, go to...
Now I am too.
Well, the great thing is you can get a trial version for free and test it out, make sure it works for you. So what you need to do is go to cocotech.com, and that's cocotech.com/Pathfinder. And then you can download the trial version, test it out, make sure it works for you the way you want. And then when you're completely blown away and wowed and wishing you'd had this before, then go ahead and pay for it and keep using it. And it's a fantastic tool. I feel kind of lame because I went many years without using it, but I'm glad that I have it on my Mac now. So thank you, Cocotech and Pathfinder 7, for being our sponsor this week. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to hit real quick before we wrap up, because we're almost out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, you wrote a piece yesterday that I thought was absolutely fantastic, where you talked about what we can do with all of these cables that we have sitting around from all this old gear.
Yeah. So this sort of came about on accident at my house. I needed a cable for something, and I realized I had a bunch, and I went and looked in a different place, and there was more cable there and more cable in the other place. So I ended up with this huge stack of cables. A portion of them is what I used for illustrative purposes in the actual article. And it's because I have, you know, a couple of, say, micro USB cables. I have a couple that live at my desk, and I have a couple that live in other places in the house where there's charging that happens on a regular basis. And that's basically it. And yet everything I buy that needs to charge comes with its own cable, which is fine, but now I have like 100 of them I don't need. So what do you do with them? Particularly, like, I have one still in plastic. You know, they've never even been unwrapped. So I kept a couple older ones and a couple longer ones and thought, well, what do I do with the rest of these? Well, I have an advantage because I live in Portland. And I have an advantage for two reasons. Number one, Oregon has an e-cycling law for electronics, for electronics and other sorts of things. There's a certain amount that places are obligated to take for nothing. So if I have a bunch of old keyboards or, you know, I have a computer or a CRT monitor or something like that, there are places that are obligated in Oregon to take those for no money. Now, in Portland, because I have this stuff that works, I have the advantage of a charitable organization called Free Geek, which helps teach technology skills to people. You can go volunteer there for a certain amount of time. And after a certain amount of time, you get your own computer. After, I think, 24 hours, after like 24 hours of volunteering, you get your own Linux machine. And it's awesome. And they do a ton of great stuff in the in the community and help a lot of people. And they have classes and things like for people who maybe aren't solid on some of their computer skills. You can go there and learn more. And they're great. They're awesome. And I love them. And every so often when I end up with a stack of stuff that works that I no longer have a use for, that's always where it goes. So other places have donation systems. So the thing about it is that there's basically three options, and I talked about that in the next article, which talks about mobile devices. Staples and Best Buy have bins, or depending on the place, on the location where the store is, some of them just have bins in the little like airlock in the front of the store, right, where you can put stuff. And I called a couple different Best Buys here to make sure, and they said if you have cables that go to cell phones, that you can just dump them in the cell phone hole in the little thing. Cool. So that was great. And then Staples, I called a couple of Staples and they said you just go to the like the customer service counter and you give them your stuff and they just take it. You can donate to different organizations. Verizon has a system, and it doesn't have to be a Verizon phone, where you can take your unused mobile communication gear to them, and they give it to victims and survivors of domestic abuse so that those people have a reliable way to get help when they need it.
Which is absolutely awesome.
Which is amazing. And then and most places will take them back, like cell phone stores. Like if you're an AT&T customer, you can probably take your old stuff to an AT&T store. Depending how old is, they sometimes will let you trade it in toward a new device. If you have an old iPod, you can get 10% off a new one with that. And there's a couple of nationwide places. There's the National Center for Electronics Recycling, which is one place. And then there's 1-800-RECYCLING. And both of those places will allow you to, they're nationwide. So wherever you live in the United States, you can check out one of these places. Electronicsrecycling.org is one. And then 1-800-RECYCLING.com is the other. Mm-hmm. And nationally, you can check out both of those places, and they each have a search, and you feed it your zip code, and it will tell you where there is in your area that will take stuff off of your hands. So every recycling center that I called in Portland said, if you've just got, you know, a couple of wads of cables, we'll just take them. You don't have to pay or anything like that to get them recycled.
That's awesome. Okay, I'll make sure we have a link in the show notes to your article so that people have a quick way to get to everything you've mentioned so far. Thank you for writing that up, because I know that we aren't alone in being people that have just piles of gear sitting around and mm-hmm. cables sitting around that need to go away in a good way. So thank you for writing that up. And hey, we are out of time. I know.
Oh, no.
I know. So, Kelly, John, thank you, both of you, for being here today.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it's always great to have you here. Thank you to Pathfinder 7 from Coco Tech for being our sponsor this week. Head over to the website, cocotech.com/Pathfinder. Download the free trial, test it out, and then join the happy ranks of John and me as Pathfinder users.
Pathfinder's seal of approval.
That's saying a lot coming from you. Yes. And then listeners, head over to the iTunes store and rate our show for us, because it's always great to get your feedback, and we will see you again tomorrow.